Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, working with individuals, families, and communities to promote independent living and individual choice to persons with disabilities. More info at rcilinc.org.
It's 87 degrees in Topeka, 85 here in Lawrence. The time is 6:06. You're listening to KPR.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence and 91.3 FM in Junction City. We actually have many frequencies, many places around the state, a full listing available to you at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, a story that has been changing rapidly all day. We will have the very latest on Graham Plattner. He is the Democratic candidate for Senate in Maine, perceived as being key to the hopes for Democrats, or the hopes that Democrats have for flipping the Senate. Well, new allegations of sexual assault have cropped up against him. There are many organizations withdrawing their endorsement of Graham Plattner. There is a move afoot to get him to drop out of the race. What is happening? Is this the reason we come to you live till 7 o'clock at night? The latest details coming up on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Lawrence Buskerfest, presenting a quarterfinal game viewing party on July 11th, 4 to 11 p.m. Celebration in South Park and viewing party at Maselli's. More at lawrencebuskerfest.com.
Mostly clear skies tonight, humid conditions, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, low in the upper 60s. Back into the 90s on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday night, we have a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms.
Support for KPR comes from University Press of Kansas, commemorating 80 years as a nonprofit, scholarly, and regional publisher, serving Kansas and the nation since 1946. More information at kansaspress.ku.edu.
The time is 6:20. This is KPR.
Belgium game tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations for the very latest news. It's Morning Edition from NPR and KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas State University, where researchers develop science-based solutions to conserve and manage water resources. More information at k-state.edu.
News headlines are up next. It is 6:30.
Disability ratings. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. A Kansas woman who sued the state for wrongful conviction after she was found guilty of murdering an infant has won her suit and is entitled to a certificate of innocence from the state. In a ruling issued today, Douglas County District Judge James McCabry said Carity Buhorn had proved her innocence by a preponderance of the evidence. In 2018, Buhorn was convicted of second-degree murder in the death of an infant at the Eudora daycare where she worked. An appeals court later overturned the verdict. Prosecutors declined to retry her. By winning her civil suit, Buhorn is entitled to nearly $370,000 for the more than 2,000 days she was incarcerated. The 4th of July holiday is now in the rearview mirror, but some people are still setting off fireworks. NOAA to Border reports that hospitals are still on alert for injuries and burns.
Three major KC area hospitals tallied more than 50 total fireworks-related injuries over the weekend. Most were to hands, arms, and eyes. Julia Slater leads the University of Kansas Health System Burn Center and says immediate treatment for facial injuries can make a difference.
You want to try to gently cover the area on your face or your eye with a cool, clean towel and get someone to the emergency room as quick as you possibly can.
The most common firework culprit so far this year are Roman candles, but there have also been several sparkler-related injuries, especially among kids. I'm Noah Taborda.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture predicts that beef prices will continue to rise this year. That's partly because the country's beef cattle herd is at its smallest since the early 1950s. That's created tough economic conditions for beef businesses like meat packing plants and feedlots, where cattle gain weight before being processed. David Anderson, a professor and extension economist at Texas A&M University, says those facilities rely on a large number of animals moving through them.
You know, we've got more capacity to process animals than we need, given the number of animals. And so we have packing plants that are closing.
This year, meatpacking plants in Nebraska, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee have closed or reduced operating hours. These disruptions to the beef supply chain can cause higher prices for consumers. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from
over. So we looked to see what some of Morning Edition's most popular stories have been about so far this year. The answer was joy.
Like, it's the family, it's the joy. The
crafters reported higher levels of happiness and life.
That arts engagement was related to 4% slower aging rate.
Morning Edition brings you the news to keep you informed, but we also bring you something vital every weekday.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting Kansas band The Lost Keys for the final Sunday Jayhawk Jukebox, Sunday, July 12th at 2 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Coming up on your KPR One stations, news headlines at 7:01, followed by Stardate, then an hour of classical music. At 8 o'clock, we get your rebroadcast of last week's Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR Two stations, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for a rebroadcast of This American Life. Mostly clear skies tonight, but that humidity sticks around all through the night. Lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high in the upper 80s. Lows in the upper 60s tomorrow night into the 90s for Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday night, we have a 40% chance of showers and storms. It's 85 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
With Vanguard Investor Choice, investors can have a voice in how their eligible Vanguard funds vote on key shareholder matters. Learn more at vanguard.com/investor choice. This is NPR.
Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day with what you need to know, thoughtful conversations, and dare I say, some pretty great company. Join us.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
Up next, we have news headlines and Stardate, then an hour of classical music. At 8 o'clock tonight, a rebroadcast of Classics Live, Piano Music Tonight, performed by UMKC piano professor Sean Chen. Here's some Chopin and an arrangement for solo piano of The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more. All available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Mostly clear skies tonight, but humid, lows in the mid-60s tomorrow. Sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night's low only getting down to the upper 60s. It is 85 degrees in Lawrence. It is 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and local leaders are calling for Graham Plattner to drop out of the Maine Senate race after a sexual assault allegation reported by Politico. Plattner is facing incumbent Republican Susan Collins, and Democrats see the race as key to winning control of the Senate. He's denying the allegation, as NPR's Elena Moore reports.
Politico's story details an account made by a former girlfriend of Plattner who alleges that in 2021, Plattner entered her home in rural Maine, intoxicated, and forced her to have sex with him, despite her repeatedly saying no. NPR has not independently verified those claims, and Plattner has denied them, though he also says in a statement that he's taking time to, quote, reflect on the best path forward. Plattner is now facing louder calls to suspend his bid, with top backers pulling their endorsements, including California Congressman Ro Khanna, who wrote, quote, sexual assault or violence against women is a red line. Elena Moore, NPR News.
President Trump rang the opening bell of the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ from the Oval Office this morning. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump marked the first day of trading for a new investment vehicle for U.S.-born children.
President Trump boasted that the new Trump accounts would allow millions of dollars to be invested into accounts of financially poor children.
Think of it. Children that are born without money, without any money. Great parents. They can have everything, can be great, but they have no money. They can become very wealthy children at 18, and they can flip it over.
The president celebrated the new accounts, which allow contributions up to $5,000 annually, in an Oval Office ceremony attended by leaders of the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, and other business leaders. Signed into law last year, more than 6 million families have signed up for the program, according to the Treasury Department. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, The White House.
Hamas says it's dissolving its civilian-led governing body. The move comes as Israeli troops push deeper into Gaza, where they now control nearly 70% of the territory. NPR's Anas Baba reports.
The announcement by Hamas dissolves the body that's run Gaza's day-to-day affairs, from public hospitals to garbage collection, since the group won elections nearly 20 years ago. The move by Hamas appears to be an attempt to pressure Israel to move forward with President Trump's peace plan, while not addressing stalled talks on the decommissioning of weapons in Gaza and Israeli troop withdrawal. Hamas says civil servants will continue to carry out essential public services until a committee of independent Palestinian technocrats takes over, as Trump's plan calls for. But the committee's members are in neighboring Egypt, and Israel's blocked them from entering Gaza. Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar called the move of Hamas a trick and insisted on Hamas's disarmament as the way forward. Anas Bobo, NPR News, Gaza.
And from Washington, this is NPR News.
Stardate July 6th. Saturn is almost 10 times farther from the Sun than Earth is. At that distance, the Sun looks only about 1% as bright as it does from Earth. So Saturn is cold and dark. But it's not quite as cold as you might expect. Saturn actually puts out more than twice as much energy as it receives, heat radiating from deep inside the planet. Saturn is made mostly of hydrogen and helium, the lightest and simplest chemical elements. But its core contains a lot of rock, metal, and other heavy materials, more than 15 times the total mass of Earth. Gravity squeezes the core tightly, causing it to shrink. That produces heat, which rises to the surface and shines out into space. But that doesn't explain all of Saturn's heat. The rest may come from an odd type of rainfall. Droplets of liquid helium may fall toward the core. As they fall, they produce friction, which produces heat. Saturn's internal heat drives much of the weather in its atmosphere, including storms that can be as big as continents, swirling clouds on a cold, dark planet. Despite the lack of sunlight, Saturn looks bright in our sky because it's huge, about 9 times the diameter of Earth. It's easy to see how bright the next couple of early mornings because it's close to the moon. Tomorrow, it's to the lower left of the moon at dawn. It'll be a little farther to the right of the moon on Wednesday. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. It's classical music for a Monday evening. And here we are, first one of July. Mozart coming up. Piano concerto. There's music of Michael Torkey that is his depiction of the Western United States, as expressed by the bassoon, of all things. And this is called Fanfare Ritmico, Rhythmic Fanfare by Jennifer Higdon. Thank you. Fanfare Ritmico by American composer Jennifer Higdon, played there by Eugene Corporone and the North Texas Wind Symphony.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information is at cromwellsolar.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, foggy with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 87 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
From Mozart, his final piano concerto, the concerto number 27 in B-flat major, first performed early in 1791, which was the year of his death. And we'll listen to Alessio Bax, the Italian phenomenon, this evening, with Simon Over conducting the South Bank Sinfonia, piano concerto number 27 by Mozart.
Thank you.
Italian phenom pianist, Alessio Bax, who I suppose he started at the conservatory at the age of 14. He's one of those guys. He played with the South Bank Sinfonia, led by Simon Over, the piano concerto number 27 by Mozart, Mozart's final piano concerto.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, foggy with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 87 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
American composer Michael Torkey has now completed his cycle of four wind concertos, all based on the four directions of the compass, including south for oboe. He says, reminds me of feelings that I've had in the south of France. East for clarinet is music that reminds him of morning with a hopeful fresh sun riding in the eastern sky. North is the most recent of those, and it's actually for wind ensemble. It's kind of a concerto grosso, I suppose. And West, which he wrote in honor of the West Coast of the United States, Oregon in particular. It's for bassoon and orchestra, and it's Peter Kolke playing the bassoon here with the Albany Symphony led by David Allen Miller. Thank you. West by Michael Torkey, Peter Kolke, bassoon with David Allen Miller and the Albany Symphony.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 87 and fair. Wind is from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, foggy with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. It's 87 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown with a classical piano recital from the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. This Doreen Marande recital features pianist Sean Chen. Here's Sean Chen now taking the stage here at the Polsky Theater. He'll start with the collection of the Brahms for ballades or ballads for piano. four pieces by Johannes Brahms. Brahms' set of four ballades. Kansas City pianist Sean Chen. Now he's getting ready to play his own arrangement of The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas. we usually hear The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas, played by an orchestra. But that was pianist Sean Chen's own arrangement or reduction of it for solo piano. Still bringing to mind the bungling of the apprentice when he thought he could easily do magic like his master. Before arriving in Kansas City, Sean Chen had won several of the world's most prestigious piano awards, including third place in the 2013 Van Cliburn competition. He came to the Kansas City area to assume the artist-in-residence role at UMKC's Conservatory of Music. From that, he moved up to professor of piano at UMKC. He's known to go beyond simply playing the notes. In addition to rearranging symphonic pieces for piano solo, he writes his own compositions, and he's able to improvise on anything another composer has already written. We're so glad you got to hear Sean Chen's program in this Ruhl Joyce Doreen Marande Polsky Theater recital. KPR's Chuck Smith was our broadcast engineer. I'm your classical concert companion, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Another KPR recording, this one from July 2014, when members of Summerfest came to KPR and played their Victorian Kitchen Garden Suite with clarinetist Jane Carl and harpist Tabitha Rice-Steiner. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
News stories don't start in a newsroom. They start when something happens, and people want to know why. On Morning Edition, we're here for your right to be curious. Listen every weekday morning on NPR.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Maine Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate Graham Plattner is denying an allegation of sexual assault that was reported today by Politico.
Regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful the political reality will inflict, we are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people that I love, the movement I belong to, and the goal of defeating Susan Collins.
The story alleges that 5 years ago, Plattner forced a woman he was dating to have sex with him despite her repeated objections. NPR has not independently verified these allegations. Plattner is facing incumbent Republican Susan Collins. Democrats believe the race is key to their chances of winning control of the Senate during this year's elections. Democratic Senate leader Chuck Schumer has called for Plattner to drop out of the race. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is expected to discuss Russia's war at a NATO NATO summit this week in Ankara, Turkey. It comes as Russia and Ukraine have been trading heavy strikes. NPR's Joanna Kakissis has more.
Ukraine and Russia remain so far apart on what an end to this war actually means. I mean, Ukraine does not want to accept any deal that would reward the Kremlin for starting this full-scale war, so they refuse to cede any territory to Russia. The people we spoke to today also don't see an end to this war, and that's, like, really, really scary for them, especially now that Moscow is using these missiles on Ukrainian cities that are causing so much damage and killing lots of people. Yelena Zavozina, she lives near the apartment building that was hit. She had this message for NATO.
Please just stop this war. We don't want to die. We are innocent people, you know.
She says NATO leaders can pressure Russia to end this war if they want to.
NPR's Joanna Kakissis reporting. A brutal heat wave on the East Coast has eased up a bit with highs in the 80s in the mid-Atlantic, but the extreme heat was severe. In New Jersey, at least 19 people died from heat-related problems during the last week's heat wave. NPR's Alejandra Barunda reports.
The intense heat blanketing the Northeast has backed off for now, but it permanently changed many families who lost loved ones to it. State Health Commissioner Dr. Raynard Washington says many of those who died were found in their homes without air conditioning. Others were outside or in parked cars. Washington says the heat hit many different kinds of people.
It's important to note that the age ranges for these individuals were not just the elderly. There were folks who were younger adults.
Heat kills more people every year in the U.S. than any other kind of weather disaster. And it's likely that even more people died last week from heat. It could take months to learn the heat wave's true toll. Alejandra Barunda, NPR News.
Belgium has eliminated the U.S. in the Men's World Cup by a score of 4-1 in Seattle tonight. Belgium will play Spain in the quarterfinal on Friday in Inglewood, California. This is NPR News. The Supreme Court has declined to block Texas from enforcing a state law that requires age verification and parental consent for users seeking to download apps or make in-app purchases on phones. In a pair of one-sentence orders, Justice Samuel Alito denied requests by plaintiffs who claim that the Texas App Store Accountability Act violates users' constitutional rights to free speech. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney has announced what he says is the biggest procurement in Canadian military history. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, a German company has been chosen to build a new submarine fleet for the Royal Canadian Navy.
Carney made the announcement in Halifax before leaving for a NATO summit in Turkey. The competition for the submarine deal, worth more than $100 billion, was fierce between South Korea's Hanwha and Germany's ThyssenKrupp. In the end, Ottawa went with the German bid for 12 new diesel-electric submarines, four of which could be delivered by 2034. Germany has pledged $160 billion in economic activity in Canada and 650,000 jobs. That includes investing in the Port of Churchill, buying liquefied natural gas, manufacturing torpedoes, and helping to construct a space launch complex in Canada. Carney says negotiations will now begin on the final contract price. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Officials in Thailand have discovered two gold rings that are around 2,000 years old. They were found last week during an excavation at a new site about 80 miles southwest of Bangkok. The rings were found with human bones. Experts believe the owner may have been a merchant. I'm Ryland Barton, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
We'll be right back.
Pianist Emmett Cohen opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with his version of Thelonious Monk's Well, You Needn't. It's from Emmett's new album, Universal Truth, joined there by Ron Carter on bass, Joe Farnsworth drums, and trumpeter Jeremy Pelt. I'm Bob McWilliams. Thanks for joining me this evening. Had last week off for some medical procedure work, but glad to be back this week to share the music with you. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear the late, great pianist Harold Mayburn and singer Kurt Elling together doing a Charlie Parker tune. And a little bit later as well, out of the vinyl vault, trumpeter Maynard Ferguson and his orchestra from 1970 doing the Laura Nyro song, Eli's Coming. Right now, Vibus Bobby Hutcherson and an album called The Kicker. It was actually the first session Bobby recorded as a leader for Blue Note Records at the end of 1963, but it did not come out for some 36 years, I do believe, for reasons who knows. Blue Note recorded so many terrific sessions in that era that lots of material sat in their vaults for a long time. In any event, I really love this one. The Kicker is the name of the album, with Bobby joined by Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Grant Green guitar, Duke Pearson, Bob Cranshaw, Al Harewood piano, bass, and drums, a Duke Pearson tune that Duke would record under his own name several times. It's called Bedouin here on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you.